Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles in your hand. We're going to turn to some scripture verses here. The title of the message is, What Believers Have in Christ. I had three people this week to ask me about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And all those people that we were talking with were Christians, and they begin to share with me the experience that they had when the peace of God came. And let me share this with you. When the peace of God that passes all understanding comes, that's when you're really, really close to God. Amen? I mean, you're close. I mean, he's right there. He's putting his arms around you. And so I thought, what believers have in Christ? You know, is born-again Christians, we really have a lot. That didn't cost us one penny, but it cost Christ himself. And I want to share that with you this morning. There's many, many more that I could talk about, but this is all the time that we have. What is it that gives a Christian that peace of mind that passes all understanding? What is it that gives a believer strength and hope when facing perhaps maybe a casket or maybe facing a doctor telling you you have cancer, or maybe when you have had a heart attack or something of that? Why are believers so assured of their position in Christ? Why can we as believers look into the future with a calmness of heart and feelings? I thought this morning as I was sitting in Chuck's class, I sat there and I thought, man, I would sure hate to be a lost person sitting in this class listening to this guy teach the Bible what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. And I'm saved going to heaven, give me cold chills. And you start talking about them spiders. I hate spiders. Amen. And them locusts and all that. But these are things that are going to happen. They're really going to happen. And these things that I'm talking about here can happen. What can we as believers in Jesus Christ, why can we be so positive about our future? Well, that's what the Word of God tells us. Amen? What is it that makes a believer so sure of his or her salvation and in heaven? It is very simple. Colossians 2:9 says, In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I want you to take your Bible for just a moment and turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. And Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse number 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the, watch this, faithful in Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You ever see anybody and you thought, man, I'd like to be a Christian like that person? I'd like to know what that person knows. When you got saved, you got all that. You just got to dig for it. Say amen right there. You got to study to show thyself approved. I mean, we got all the blessings. We got it all when we got saved. Amen. I remember when I first got saved. Anybody in here ever thought you could lose your salvation? Am I the only person? No one ever thought you could lose your salvation. There's one. Come on, now let's be honest. I got saved, and for the first 3 years, I thought I was going to die and go to hell every day. Amen? Simple fact is, when I got saved, I got eternal life. Amen? How did I get eternal life? Through Christ Jesus, like Paul. I got eternal. My problem was that I had it. I had a prayer life. I had blessings. I didn't know that. And so I had to find that out through studying and listening to preachers and listening to Bible study from the Word of God. Amen. And you know what? I found out after 3 years, and by the way, I'm going to tell you something. If you're here this morning and you didn't raise your hand, or you're sitting here this morning and you believe you can lose your salvation, you're the most miserable person in this room right now. Amen. You see, you can't function properly if you think you can lose your salvation. You're saved 1 minute and you're lost the next minute. You're saved 1 minute and you're lost the next minute. That's not the way God works. Amen. And so once I found out that I was saved, I shouted, say amen right there. So that's possible sometimes. Amen. Now go to chapter number 2 of Ephesians. Look at verse number 6 and 13. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Boy, that's a friend, isn't it? Amen. Christ is with me 24/7. Now look at verse number 13. But now is Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God I'm saved and I'm not far off anymore. Amen. Now go to chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse number 11. According to the eternal purpose which he had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's run over to Colossians. Are you with me? Colossians, I told you we was going to look at some verses now. Colossians, I can't even find it. Chapter number 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Look at verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught abundantly therein with thanksgiving. Jump down to verse number 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all transgression. Let me tell you something. Everything is through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I come into the world, listen, to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't say he come to teach. He didn't say he done anything. He didn't even say he come to heal, although he does those things. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And my friend, if you're sitting here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ, you've never put your faith and trust in a person called Jesus Christ, you have not salvation today. It comes through Jesus Christ, not through me, not through anyone. Everything we have is through Jesus Christ. Say amen right there. What is it that the believer has in Christ? I'm going to give you a few attributes here and privileges that only believers have, only born-again believers have. Number one, an atonement that cannot be recompensed. Recompense means payment for return of something given. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have to pay Christ back. I cannot do anything to pay him back. Amen. I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 10, you don't have to turn there. And starting at verse 4, it says, for it is not possible, listen now, that the blood of bulls and of goats shall take away sins. By that which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Everybody get that? Once for all. I'm saved once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, this man, that's Christ Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice, that's himself, for the sins forever, sat down on the right-hand side of God. All of my sins have been taken care of 2,000 years ago at Calvary. When Jesus Christ paid my sin debt and paid your sin debt at Calvary, that was over for our sin. Now, that doesn't mean I don't sin, because I'm still in the human body. And we all sin, amen? But thank God, because of my salvation, I can come to him and ask him to forgive me of my sins, and my sins are forgiven. Amen? What? Forgive me of my sins, the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary. The Bible said, and I just read it, sins of bulls and goats and turtle pigeons and turtle doves and all, they can't take a... Now, in the Old Testament, they covered the sin. Catch this. Didn't take it away. Just covered. Everybody with me? But the day Jesus Christ died, those Old Testament sins is gone. They were just covered, but they're gone now. Those bulls and those goats and those pigeons and those doves did not take away man's sin. Only Jesus Christ took away man's sin. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works or righteousness which we have done. In other words, I cannot work for my salvation. Amen? Every time I bring this out, I think of Doris and Brenda up here cleaning the church and working in the church. Do you know, I don't know whether y'all know this or not. Do you know, I know some people that do exactly what you are doing, and they feel that's going to get them to heaven. Huh? How many... you don't see too many of these crosses anymore. As you go down, you see three crosses always up on a little type hill. How many have seen those? They're all over the country. I knew the man that put those up personally. His name was Bernard Kaufendaffer. You know why? Bernard had a cleaning process, had a factory, a cleaning process. He cleaned coal and made a large sum of money, and he sold it. And when he sold that, he took and spent, watch this now, $3 million putting up those crosses. I was talking to him one day, and I said, Bernard, I said, that's a good thing you're doing. I said, people drive by, they see the cross, and I said, that middle cross is always just a little higher. And he said, yeah, he said, I think I've got enough of them up now. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I put them all over the country. And he said, he looked over at me, and we were sitting in an automobile, and he looked over at me, and he said, I think that's enough to get me into heaven. I'm talking about an adult. I'm talking about a man who said he had been saved for years. But his problem was he thought he could lose his salvation. And so I said, Bernard, I said, And he bricked the side, the whole church that I pastored that we built. He bricked the whole side and paid for it. He put all the lights in it, big, fancy, paid for it. And I thought, I don't want to make him mad. He's loud by something else. But I told him, I said, Bernard, I said, all this you've done, and by the way, all the money that he spent on our church, he thought that was racking him up points. Because he told me. And I said, Bernard, all you've done will not get you in one inch of heaven. I said, let me show you. The Bible says here, 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Come to the fact that after a while he thought he was Christ. A writer for the Evening Post. Do they still put that paper out, the Saturday Evening Post? Is that still out? a preacher friend of mine called me from Baltimore. He said, what are you doing? And I said, Bernard, I said, actually, I was working that evening there in my study. And he said, are you at the church? I said, yeah, I'm in my study. He said, I'm coming over. I got something I want to show you. I said, okay, come on. He came over. He had the Saturday Evening Post, and one of the writers had done an article on the man that put up the crosses. Had his picture and everything there. And as this guy was writing, now listen, as this guy was writing, he was quoting Bernard, and he said, put your hand, put your thumb in the middle of my hand, like this. And he said, press down. And naturally, anybody puts their hand, it's going to go in. And he said, that's where they nailed me to the cross. You see, this guy began to believe anything. And all of a sudden, now he thinks he's the Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you can spend $10,000 million. It'll not get you to heaven. Amen. You can work your fingers to the bones in the church, and it will not get you one inch into heaven. Amen. You can come to every church service that's ever been known. You can carry your Bible. You can stand and pray one of the beautiful prayers anyone's ever heard and still die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. Not by works, Titus says, or righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Atonement now means that believers will never again be responsible for my sin. That doesn't mean that I can go out here and sin and do anything I want to. You see, listen. You see, listen. If you have personally put your faith and trust in a person called Jesus Christ, and you know that, everybody with me? And you know that, you won't want to sin. Now, you're going to sin because of this body. I don't want to go to the clubs anymore. I could use this excuse, you know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I just ask God to forgive me, I'm going. But the Bible says, now listen, you listen to me. The Bible says, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Behold, old things have passed away. All things become new. If I have a lusting desire to go back and do what I used to do, I never got saved. You can say amen, you can say ouch, you say that's not true. I can prove it from the Bible. Now, that's not saying I don't backslide. That's what we call getting out of the will of God. That does happen. Amen. But I don't have a hunger to go back. You see, I got saved. When I got saved, I did not have a hunger to miss church all the time. Say amen, Marie. You're always here so you can say amen. Huh? There's some people that's got a hunger. I just got to do this. I got to do this. And they forget about church. Sean said in his prayer this morning, I believe it was in his prayer, that we come to worship God. You say, well, I can worship God out here. No, you can't. Not like you can here. And don't shoot that junk at me. I've heard every story in the book. Amen? Let's just face it. You're either saved or you're lost. Amen? I don't have a hunger to go out on my wife or to run around on my wife. I don't have a hunger. Why? I'm saved. By the way, saved people oughtn't do that. Amen. You was talking about those young couples splitting up. I see it every day. You know, it's come to the point where I don't even want to marry people anymore. You know? And when I do marry them, I make them say that they'll stay together according to the Bible. And a lot of them, they say they will, but they don't. Amen? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, the believer will never taste death without the assurance of living again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. It's through the death, this is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how I escape death. Now, they may bring me in and put me in a casket. I don't even care whether they do that or not. And lay my body in there. But I've never died. That's a body dead. Everybody with me? Watch this. I'll never die. Everybody with me? You see, my soul. How can I die when God, the Holy Ghost, lives in my soul? You can't kill him. I'm just like this. As soon as the heart beats, I'm gone. Everybody with me? Now, the body's dead, and the body will decay, but I'm with him. That didn't cost, eternal life didn't cost me anything. It cost Jesus Christ everything. Isn't it amazing how someone like that could love us? Liberals say, well, Christ apparently overcame death. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. He didn't overcome death. He abolished it. Amen? The Bible says he took the stinger out of death. If you have a bee, did that spider not bite you? Good night. I can get around a spider and they'll bite and swells up and hurts. Anybody ever been spider bit? Oh, amen. Now, if you have a bee, them waspers, and if you could catch it, some people can, and you can get and you pull that stinger out right in the butt. Pull that stinger out, he can't sting you. Did you know that? He can go like that all he wants, and he will, but he can't sting you. Why? Because somebody's pulled the stinger out. The Bible says that Christ took the stinger of death out. In other words, I can't die. Death can't hurt me. Amen? Now, I may have a disease, and that disease is hurting me, and I may be suffering. But my soul is sealed, and I will never die. Because Christ took the stinger out of death. Amen? Everybody with me? So what do believers have in Christ? An atonement that cannot be recompensed. You can't pay for it. If you try to pay for it, then it's not given to you. Amen? It means works. If I try to pay for it, it's work salvation. And when it becomes a work salvation, grace has been taken out. It's a free gift. An unbeliever assumes that anything and everything is for sale. I hear people tell me lots of times, what's the price of it? What's the price of it? Well, there's got to be a price on it. There's no price on salvation. And the phrase says, and that not of yourself, that not of me. I cannot buy my salvation. There will never be a sales price or a bargain price or a blue light special on salvation. Never. Everybody on a shout. Amen. That ought to give you something to worship about this morning. Amen. Number two, an acceptance that will never be refused. Hallelujah. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast down. Look here. Look here. Did y'all hear what I just read? If you're here this morning, I don't care what you did. I don't care what is in your life. That verse says, if you'll come to Christ this morning, he'll save you. He'll not cast you away. Amen? He'll not cast you. I talk to people on Facebook, and I'm miserable. I mean, young people. I'm talking about people from the age of 18, maybe lower, up till in their 30s. They're so miserable. And they talk about suicide, and they talk about this, and they talk about this, and they have no purpose in life. You know what? The Christian needs to help those people. Needs to help those people. They have a right to live in Christ the same as you and I have that much right. Amen? An acceptance that will never be refused. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Watch this. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth, turning to and trusting in, on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, turns to and trusts in on me, hath everlasting life. Did you catch what I said a few minutes ago? I never go to die. I'm going to live forever. How about you? I'm going to live forever because I put my faith and trust in a person called Jesus Christ. Nothing that I ever did. Amen. You say you didn't do nothing. Let me ask you a question. How many is familiar with the crucifixion? And I think was you talking about Wednesday night? That man on the right-hand side of Jesus? He was a thief. And by the Roman law, he deserved to die. And the guy on the left-hand side deserved to die too. The man on the middle cross didn't deserve to die, but it was his Father's will that he would die so you and I could be saved. Now watch this. And that man, yeah, you mentioned this when you were talking about baptism. That man said, would you remember me when you in your kingdom when you come? Now watch this. He wasn't baptized. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The only thing that guy ever did was admit that he was a sinner. Will you remember me? He believed that this man on the middle cross was the Son of God Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus said. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. Amen. But in a few hours, they took this Christ who was dead and laid him in a barred tomb. Is that right? But he told that thief, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Is that not what he said? Today. Now, how could he be with Christ today in paradise? Paradise was in the center of the earth when his body was laying over here. Everybody still with me? He didn't stay in that grave. Now, he arose on the third day. But in the meantime, he went and emptied paradise. And that fella that put his faith and trust in that man on the middle cross called Jesus Christ saw him again. They saw each other again in paradise. And Jesus emptied paradise and took them all to heaven. Say amen right there. You just got some good theology. Amen. Why? How did all this happen? Today. If I got saved today and I died this evening, I'm in heaven. I see Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 11:20, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. John 10:10, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Romans 2:11 says, there is no respect of person with God. In other words, God doesn't love Braden Miller any more than he loves me. Amen. If the worst sinner in town was sitting on the front row, listen, God wouldn't love him any more than he loves this guy sitting here who's never been saved. You can't add to God's love, and you can't take away from God's love. So if you're here this morning and you're lost, there's no one in the world loves you like God. Because there's no one in the world would give their son to be crucified for you except God. That's pretty good preaching, ain't it? Amen. I'll brag on myself. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Acts 10:43. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin, forgiveness of sin. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is a Christ is born of God. Revelation 22:17, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. A person doesn't have to be very smart to know that these scriptures are what they're saying. Amen. It's saying, whosoever will may come. Or an acceptance that will never be refused. Say amen right there. Now, I know what the Calvinists say. I know what they say. And they say there's been some chosen and there's been some not chosen. I've searched this Bible over and over for 50 years. I've never found that. I've never found that. I have found over and over, whosoever comes. Whosoever comes. I will never refuse anyone. I see that all over the Bible. Amen. You see, I'll be honest with you, I really wouldn't want to serve a God that would save you and not save me. Would you? I wouldn't want to serve God like that. And the good news is, I don't. I serve a God that loves everybody and wants to help wants to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Number three, an assurance that cannot be revoked. 1 John 5:12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that he may, the next word is know, that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These two verses don't need much explanation. It's pretty self-explanatory. If a person has the Son of God, then he has life or eternal life. If a person has eternal life, then that means he is not unsaved or is not an unbeliever or that he is not lost in sin. Now, let's be responsible about this, or reasonable. If I have Jesus dwelling in my heart, then I have the Son. Amen? If I have the Son, then I have life or eternal life. Amen? Then Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never leave thee nor forsake thee. How about that? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That means that Jesus Christ is always with me. Amen. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 10:27-30, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So let's pay attention now to the word. No man, not an outsider, not an angel, not a false teacher, not the individual himself, can take me out of the Father's hand. Amen. Can't do it. How about you? Suppose that we commit what we say is a really big sin. And by the way, sin is sin to God. You see, salvation brings freedom. I hope you know that. Freedom from bondage of sin. Let me ask you a question. What in your life is your idol? Most Christians don't show their idol. Most of them. It's secret. They don't want nobody to know about it. Some do show their idol. So, what is an idol? Idol's a noun. Person, place, or thing, or something like that. Person, place, or thing. What takes me away from God? Could be the TV. Could be the computer. Might even be your cell phone. Let me ask you a question. How many of you has missed on Wednesday night, and while we're here at the house of God, you're sitting at home watching TV? I just named your idol. Bit good preaching, ain't it? Huh? Amen. Some people crave the dollar bill so much that they'll push God aside for money. That's your idol. That's your idol. Some people have so much hate for other people Not only is that a sin, but that hate is your idol building up and building up and building up. And it comes to a point in your life you think you're okay. You think everything's fine and you're all right. What takes the place of God in your life? Let's go to number four. An abundance that will never be realized. John 10:10. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Every day, I've been saved 50 years. Every day of my life, maybe 51, again, I'm not sure. 50 or 51. And every day of my life, I see the abundance of God in my life. Every day. And Chuck, the question you asked me about a month ago, we was talking about this morning. I had prayed about that. And it's just out of random, I picked up a book. And right there it was. And I got so excited. I thought, I can tell him now this guy's view. The abundance. You could live to be 150 years old. And every day, there's abundance. God has for you. If you're sitting here this morning, now listen to me. And you have a problem with someone. You got a problem. If for somebody here that you don't like, you're not a happy Christian. And God's got all this he wants to give you, but he's holding it back from you because you got hate in your heart. You can't operate in a Christian life like that. Now, you're saved, but you can't function properly. Listen to me. He has all this abundance that he wants to give you, and now you're being held hostage from some little old something. Amen? You don't have to be held hostage. Salvation is freedom. Abundance of freedom. I can't go to the Father. Listen, I can't go to the Father in prayer not liking you. I just can't do that. First of all, he ain't going to answer. But why? Because sin come between you, me and him. I'm sorry. God wants to bless you. He just wants to shovel all the blessings he can on you. But this has come between you and me. You see, I can't get to him because of this. He wants me to get to him. I wished I could get to him, but I'm not willing to get it taken care of and come God's way. There's no other way except God's way. There's no other way. And so my salvation is based on Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He wants to throw that grace at me, but I'm being held hostage. all grace abound towards you. Abound means over and above. It can also mean to funnel into the channel, into. This is what God wants to do. Abundant power. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in him. Abundant supply. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Physical need, emotional need, pleasure need, financial need. I talk to people all the time who have never experienced the joy of the abundance that God's got for them. Always worrying about this, always worrying about that. I got a phone call last night. The guy says, Brother Craig, you just don't worry, do you? Well, I have before, but I said not much. And he started crying. How can I keep from worrying? And I said, what are you worrying about? And he told me. You see, if you call me and ask me, I'll tell you my opinion. I won't tell you just off the bat. But he called me. And I told him, and I said, till you get right with God, you're not ever going to have that joy and peace. It's just not going to happen. That can't happen. And he prayed a prayer. I don't know whether he meant it or whether he didn't. I don't know. Said he'd be in church this morning. I don't know. This wasn't from around here. This is from down home. I don't know where you went to church this morning or not. I'll know after a while. Psalms 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That little lad's lunch, Jesus could have fed 500,000 if he wanted to, or 5 million. But he fed 5,000 and plus the ladies and the children. We have an abundance that will never be realized, really. We'll never realize it. As I close, boy, I sure hope you know you're saved. Someone asked me one time, says, your boy got saved when he was 8 years old. I said, yes, yes. They said, what about when he gets older? Maybe he says he doesn't know where he's saved or not. I says, well, if he asks me, I'll take the Bible and show him all over again. You see, I want him to have the assurance of his salvation. I'd rather be the biggest drunk and wino in town than sit back on that back seat. And if I had to get up out of that back seat and walk down this aisle, I would want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I wouldn't worry about who was sitting over on my right. I wouldn't worry about who was sitting on my left. I'd be worrying about me. Because the folks sitting on my right and the folks sitting on my left can't do a thing about it. Only I can do something about it. And then there's folks sitting here that you got a block between you and God. You know it, and God knows it. And you don't have the abundant life. You're being held hostage. I don't see how you make it. you need to get right with God. And if you're here this morning and you have never personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you, in just a moment I'm going to ask you to walk this aisle, and we're going to take that Bible and show you how you can have what I was talking about this morning. Amen. It's called salvation. It's eternal life. It's the abundance of God. It's the power that God wants to give you. Someone asked me this week, said, what is wisdom? I said, wisdom is from God. It's God's education. God's wisdom. Given me an education through him to survive here on earth, to make the right decisions. And right now, if you're lost, you may be sitting there, and I don't know if there's anyone here lost or not. I don't know. But man, your throat's a little dry. I remember when I was lost. And you're a little shaky inside. That's good, because that's the Holy Spirit. You see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you now. That's telling you God wants to save you. He loves you. And he cares for you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. Standing to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.